How do we allow him, open our hearts to him, allow him to create like a blank canvas on our hearts so that he can imprint an icon of himself? And the more that I've prayed into this part of the song, and then the more that I've grown closer to Mother Mary, the more I see that it actually makes more sense for us, especially as women, to talk about it as allowing God to paint or write the icon of the Blessed Virgin on our hearts, that we want to be icons of her. And in essence, she is an icon of Christ, right? The two are one. So we're going to talk about it as becoming icons of Mary, because Mary is the bride. So there's two things important to remember in the next 2 weeks as we talk about this, that one, we're talking about spiritual beauty, spiritual strength. And we're not talking about becoming perfect, right? We're talking about becoming the icon of Mary that he created us to be, that each one of us is called to be a unique icon of Mary and Jesus in this world. I think of it as, you know, God is infinity. He is infinite love, and we are finite, but each one of us is called in our own special way to reflect a little piece of his infinity. One little piece of his infinite love. So it's not about striving, and it's not about having to become perfect in anything. It's a continual praying into Jesus, what have you called me to do? How have you called me to be? What is this icon that you wish to write on my heart? And remember that comparison is the thief of joy. So we don't want to be comparing ourselves to others. But he has a unique path to holiness for each one of us. And he knows just what you need to get to heaven. And that's all you need to focus on. We want him to be able to see himself when he gazes upon our soul. That's our goal in growing in holiness. But I also think what we want to have happen is not only that he recognizes himself in us, but those around us begin to recognize Jesus and Mary in us, right? To me, the whole theme of these next 2 weeks, it just screams theology of the body, that we are called to make visible the invisible realities hidden in God. And what we are called to make visible is his love, right? To be his love in this world, to be his heart. If the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the heart of God made flesh, then each one of us, again, is to be a little piece of that infinite love contained in the Sacred Heart of Jesus and make that visible. And as the body of Christ, if each one of us was making visible our little bit of God's infinite love, imagine what it would be like. So again, it's important to remember that we're reflecting on her spiritual beauty. And I love, one of the things I love about Gilbert of Hoyland, and you know, he was speaking to monks back in the, I don't know, 12th century, 11th century, something like that. But he reminds them all the time, okay, we're talking about her cheeks, we're talking about her neck, we're talking about her breasts, but we're not. We're talking about her spiritual features, her spiritual beauty. And so we just have to really keep that in mind, that we're talking. Think about, remember back when we did I Am Black But Lovely Daughters of Jerusalem, and we talked about how our interior disposition is reflected in our complexion, right? And we talked about how we can see that. We can see when someone is anxious or someone's suffering through depression or grief, it shows in the way they carry themselves, in their affect, in their speech, right? And so that's what we're talking about, is that the interior woman shines out through the exterior. We're not talking about we're all supposed to become as physically beautiful as we can, or that someone with disabilities or imperfections can't be beautiful like Jesus and Mary. That's not at all what we're saying, okay? I just want to put that out there at the very start. We're talking about our souls, our interior life, and how that's reflected mostly in the way that we behave, right? The way that we speak, the way that we act, the way that we treat one another. How loving, how kind, how generous, how merciful we are. So if we think about the fact that we are created from the very beginning in the image and likeness of God. And if we think about that for a minute, the image and likeness. So what's the difference there? So the way I've come to understand it from the reading of, William of St. Thierry, probably mostly reading some of his books, his other works besides what he's written about the song, the way that he describes it is that every single human person is stamped with the image of God, right? We're all created in the image of God. How much in likeness to God we are, that depends on our growth in holiness and our relationship with Christ. So we can grow more and more in the likeness of God, but there is nothing, nothing that can ever take away the image of God in us. And so he talks about how some grow into this icon of Jesus and Mary, and some choose to take a totally different path and can actually lose their likeness to God. You become not just like the beast, you become like subhuman, those who take that other path and choose to turn completely away from God can lose. They don't lose the image of God, but they lose their likeness to God. And so this, I think, is important to remember as we're talking about growing into icons, growing more and more into the likeness of Jesus and Mary. So we look at Jesus, and this is such a beautiful season to take a look at this, right? The incarnation. He married his divinity to Mary's humanity, to our humanity. He took on flesh and blood. He gave God a face, a body, a voice, a beating heart. In essence, he became the perfect icon of what it means to be a human person, to be man. And he invites each one of us to work with him, to allow him to be the artist who patiently, intentionally, he knows what needs to be done to write that icon of holiness. And it's important to remember that this icon that he writes on your heart is going to be different than any other icon of him. Look at the icon of the bridegroom, right? And you can Google icon of the bridegroom and you'll see they're all very, very similar, right? But if you think about how icons are written and the prayer process behind them, if you look closely, you'll see that they're not exactly alike. There's always some little nuances, some little difference. And so even though the goal is to all become icons of Mary and Jesus, we're not going to be the same because no two hearts are the same. It's like he says in the song, the rarest essences are yours. And then the bride says later, the rarest fruits are at our door. I've stored them all for you, right? Each one of us is rare, special, and unique to him, unlike any other human person that ever was or ever will be. And so the love of you and Jesus creates something new that has never been and will never be again. And so this image of him that you bring into the world will be new and unique. And this is part of the adventure, right? This adventure of creating our own unique edition of the Song of Songs with the bridegroom, that each one will be different. Nuptial imagery just keeps coming to mind, right? It's truly spousal. and that it's the intermingling, it's the marriage of who Jesus is to you and who you are to him. His heart with your heart creates something new. But it's also a work of art that is done together. That it's two hands on the paintbrush. And often I think of it more as my part in creating this masterpiece is that continually allowing him to access, to have access, that receptivity and openness to access my heart, to do with me as he wishes, as he knows needs to be done, and just to be receptive to his workings within me, letting him lead. And that to me is so Marian, right? What did she say at the Annunciation? Let it be done unto me according to your word. Not, okay, what do I need to do to make this happen? But here I am. Do to me as you wish. Let it be done unto me.